Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Haggerty grounds the ball to second. Holiday comes home. Tag is in time. Holiday and Sanchez combine for the out at the plate.
And they're going to look at it, and they're going to check it. Why not?
Runner is safe.
You know, he started working that changeup into lefties. I can speak for the lefties. I mean, if you look at his report, it's a fastball slider, and then it's like 2 or 3% changeup. And then he started breaking that thing out. And, I think personally messed up my game plan a little bit. Yeah, it's frustrating for sure. Keegan and the guys out of the pen keep us close enough there. And then, you know, the big inning, score 5 runs. And, you know, it feels like we're going to steal one there, and it's going to be a great win for us. And then, you know, unfortunately, you guys saw it happen. And, you know, tough one to lose for sure.
You know, they grinded back and scratch and clawed, and yeah, that's a tough one. I think this group has really started to kind of gain some footing with games like that.
I feel like we had one the other day too. You know, it's, they're close, they're good slides. I'll credit the base runners at their base, but you know, one of these days we got to get one of those, no doubt.
Right, was safe. Right, you get it last night. Original call was out. By review, Bruce Bochy went right to, as you saw the review. And the runner was ruled safe, 10th inning. It's the second time in the game that the Orioles had the infield played in. And Texas scored. Gunner threw one up the line a little bit when the Rangers had that little uprising against Charlie Morton, gave them a 3-0 lead. And then what proved to be, ultimately, the game-winning run there in the 10th. So that was Tony Manzalino. I don't know if he's saying the call's got to start going our way. I mean, we want the calls to be right. And if they benefit the Orioles, hey, great. But right is what we want. Because I'll sit here and bitch about umpires all day long. Just get it right. Strike zone, you're calling outside. Do it for 9 innings and for both teams. You're calling low. Do it for 9 innings for both teams. Then you get a gauge on what's going on. Just get the call right. But Tony Manzalino, as he saw, I'm sure, with the replay, that was the correct call. Now, the Orioles have had calls go against them that look to be obvious. Hey, first inning, pick off. He's out. Original call, safe on the field. Replay showed. Tag was on the shoulder. Runner gone's up. So it could work either way. I think the Orioles' dilemma last night, they got no hit for 6 innings. And then hit 3 straight homers. And you heard Ryan O'Hearn, the kid lats. He only made 1 start. His last outing where he went 5+, he was pitching out of the bullpen. And you heard Ryan O'Hearn, scouting report, advanced scouts, looking at what he brings to the equation. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I know much about him at all. But he didn't throw a changeup, apparently, a lot. And he was throwing it up a lot last night, and the Orioles had a hard time dealing with it, as you heard from O'Hearn himself, saying, threw my game plan off, because I was expecting this, and got that. And then the Orioles busted it out. 7th inning, Laureano singles, Sanchez hits a 3-run homer, then Arias off the top of the wall in right field, ties it up, and then O'Hearn himself blasts one into the bleachers at right center field. This is going to be one of these magical come-from-behind wins that we got used to in the second half of 22 through 23 and through a lot of 2024. But unfortunately, it's 2025, and then Texas ties it, bottom of the inning, eventually wins it in extras. By the way, for the Rangers, Chris Martin, wow, what a rough outing for that guy who had been dealing this year. I mean, you give up three straight taters to a team that hadn't had a hit going into the inning. You're feeling bad because Lats, certainly, you're up 4-0 and he doesn't even qualify for a decision. You got to feel bad about yourself. But his team picked him up. Unfortunately for Charlie Morton and the Orioles, they tried to and could have gotten done. And I think it goes to guys and our listeners out there on this Woman Crush Wednesday. The tone of the season. A week ago tonight, the Orioles were leading a game 8-0. They wound up losing. Last night, they hit three straight homers late in the ball game with fresh arms in the pen and wound up losing. And it's another home loss, too. And they're terrible in rubber games. They could still win the series tonight. DeGrom's been dealing. Looks like Brandon Young will start because Manzolino said before the game he is definitely going to pitch, but he's probably going to get the ball. But, man, that was another – if you're trying to chip away, they lost a game in the wild card, now 7.5 out. You're trying to chip away, stay relevant. These are games they win a year ago, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. It's a game in 2025, they lose.
Right. Offense, look, I understand the frustration against Lats. You want to see something there. But to be honest, you're not going to score a run in every inning of every game. You're going to have stretches where you suck. You're going to face a pitcher that has your number. But can you overcome it? Can you fight back? And they did. The offense did enough. My frustration today, more so with the defense, the little things, the pitching. All right. Dominguez and Soto, have they been fine overall this year? Sure, their ERAs reflect that. But when I watch them, it's just there's far too much stuff like we saw last night where it's death by paper cuts. All right, Rangers score 6 runs. 4 of them are off of fielder's choices and sac flies. That just can't happen. 1 or 2 a game, maybe, sure. But for it to come down to that and crucial late inning runs that aren't even off, all right, you want to beat me? Launch a home run into the upper deck. That's fine. We got beat. Getting this little nickel and dime BS, that's the most frustrating thing to watch as a fan because Holiday did make a good throw. He beat him by a mile. Yep. Can't make a tag. I feel a little bad for Sanchez behind the plate because he's getting a full body workout back there, diving and trying to block wild pitches and everything. But it's like, can we just clean up in what my opinion should be the little easy things? They're doing the hard stuff well. They just can't get out of their own way.
Go back to Brandon Hyde's last game as Orioles manager. That Friday night against the Nats. That was a win. They couldn't do the little things late. Not covering bases. Not fielding your position well. They wound up losing. And I guess that it become the boiling point for Mike Elias, David Rubenstein. Brandon Hyde was gone the very next morning. But hasn't this kind of been the theme for the season? Instead of finding wins to ways to win, rather, which good teams do, and beating teams. Texas is 9 games under 500 on the road. Supposed to be better win tonight, because then Tampa's coming in, who knows, division rivals, et cetera, et cetera. But they find ways to lose. And I was stunned when they took the lead. Flabbergasted, floored, whatever you want to use. Back in the dome, what's left of it? Like, man, still 2 innings left. Can they stem the tide? And the Mountain himself wasn't all that sharp last night either.
No, but you're going into it knowing, all right, we got to get 6 outs here, and we have our guy, Bautista, available to cover 3 of them.
Right.
And that's how it played out, and you still couldn't finish the game. So for Gregory Soto, again, you know, it's not like a guy hit a triple to put himself there to lead off the inning, steals a couple bags, and I'm sorry, the second one's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Just the little things. And it matters. You can't just ignore, all right, a guy gets on base, let me focus on the batter. No. I've seen far too many frustrating things out of this bullpen this year. So the numbers overall at times look okay, like I said, but boy, they frustrate the hell out of me.
Yeah, it was almost like they conceded the steal to third, which is the last thing you wanted to do. Now, granted, you're kind of limited in how much you can hold runners now, and Gary Sanchez is not Pudge Rodriguez when it comes to throwing out opposing base stealers, but that was too easy. T-O-O-O, exclamation point.
Well, the thing about it is you just take you have a unbelievable inning. 3 home runs. You take the lead. You're up 5-4. You got all the momentum. You know, and then you get an out. Then you walk a pinch hitter. You walk a pinch hitter. And then you let him go, and then they get the sacrifice fly, and they tie the game. Then, you know, in the 10th inning, the Orioles, basically in the same situation, got a man on third, one out.
Yeah, Mullins bunts him in the scoring position. Yeah.
And Carlson, the only thing that you cannot have happen, a strikeout. And they do it. So, I mean, like you just said, no, Texas, they found a way to win it, and the Orioles, they found a way to lose.
I think that's a fair point, because lost in all of the craziness of the replay review and everything of Carter at the plate was that you go into the top half of that inning almost kind of half expecting that you're going to give up the run. Just a matter of, can we match it and keep the game going, or maybe we get another big inning and win it. But my perspective changed when he got that early out. I think it was a punch out. Well, now it immediately changes. You get one out. He can't sacrifice the guy over to third. But you gift them that on the free pass on the wild pitch. That's where it just immediately crumbled right there. You had the game. As soon as he struck out or got the first guy out, the Orioles' chances of winning probably spiked tremendously. And then you give it right back on one wild pitch.
Bottom line is another gut punch L. However, they can win the series. But they're terrible in rubber. What, 3-9, I believe, in rubber games here in 2000. I'm reading Rockabacco's column in Masson this morning. That's bad. And they have a stud pitcher on the mound in Jacob DeGrom. And Texas kind of waited to announce him as the guy. They had been TBA all week long. Now Boshi's like, we're going to win the series. And the Orioles they're pushing Sagano back probably to Friday against Tampa. So on the mound, advantage Texas in a monstrous way. But that's why they play the games. You know what I mean? Brandon Young's pitched well at Norfolk. Not so much here in the majors. He's back. Keegan Aiken's probably not going to be part of the equation. You wouldn't think. I mean, blew it. I'm looking at him probably getting some run. Unless Brandon Young goes lats. It looks like Don Drysdale for 6 innings.
But upside, I mean, you got to be thinking max for him. Like, perfect, ideal outing. 5 innings.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't be expecting much more than that. So you mentioned Blouette. I mean, he's going to have to eat probably 2, I'd imagine, unless they've got an insane lead. Don't see that happening.
Yeah. And the Orioles do have to make a roster move, too, because they got to get Young called up. So tough loss. They could still win the series. And as we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, we're looking at it in series wins. But we can also microcosm them, because there's 2 games in the last 7 days, well, 6, that should have been wins that turned into L's. And last night, you're getting no hit. By the way, does that feel like it's inevitable that they're going to get no hit at some point this season? It's an inevitability. But you're getting no hit, you take the lead, and then you lose. So, and you know, you could feel O'Hearn's frustration there. I mean, that was another one that got away. And then you're playing with house money against DeGrom tonight, because you've already clinched this series. But Orioles lose a game in the wild card, 7.5 back there. Yankees are really scuffling, too. We'll get to that when we get to the AL East report. Mike Exceso, as a matter of fact, CBSSports.com. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. NBA draft is tonight. Derek Queen expected to go in the first round. Mocs have him going anywhere from 10 to 15. ESPN just did their updated 2-rounder coming this morning. By the way, the NBA draft's now 2 days. You have the first round tonight, and then tomorrow's the second round in Brooklyn. And there's going to be a lot of syllables and names of players that, you know, we're not really down with. Now, if you watch college basketball, you'll be aware of most of the players. Looks like the first 8 picks might be freshmen. Queen himself is a freshman, so a lot of one-and-doneers, a lot of players from elsewhere outside the continental U.S. are going to be chosen highly. Jimmy Patsos will be in tomorrow with me from 10 to 2 to discuss what went on with Queen. Expected to be a lottery pick and every other surprise that we might see, and also give us scouting reports of some of the players that we might not be as familiar with as we are with some of the Big Ten, ACC, SEC, etc., etc. Ravens less than a month from training camp. We'll get into that. And we didn't talk about this yesterday, but we'll get into it today. Lamar Jackson, the contract.
Mm-hmm.
That was eventually signed, and everyone's happy. He's about to get another one here within the next 10 months, we assume. But going back to the trade demands, collusion, arbiters. What a shocker. They roll with the NFL. But we'll get into all of that. Lamar Jackson wanted a trade. John Harbaugh got that news like a foreman uppercut at the owners' meetings. Remember, we'll get into that. I mean, it's all good now, we think. But Deshaun Watson, that contract that Cleveland signed him to, fully guaranteed through a total monkey wrench in what the NFL wants to be, which is in control.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brandon Young probably will start. He's 0-1 with a 6.23 at the major league level. Spent time on the IL, but came back and pitched well in his last outing. So, giving the Orioles some sense of relief here. What do you think of Morton before we get to the phones? 410-583-1057. His command was a little off, for sure. And then he labored through the 3-1 inning, but he did get him through five. He even said after the game he wanted to stick around, but he was at 100. So I think he had kind of maxed whatever he could bring to the equation. But Charlie Morton, it's very simple. Command's on point. Well, like all pitchers, let's be honest. But especially him, because once he starts to get a little wild in the zone, then the pinch count elevates, ducks get on the pond, and we saw what happened to him as he couldn't get through six, which the Orioles really could have used, even following up Trevor Rogers' brilliant start in game one. Now you're here in the finale, hoping that a young guy gets you deep into the game. And as we talked about here on the show in the opening of the program, we'll see.
Bob, the only way I see them, I mean, winning series is nice, but they need an 8-9 game, 9-0, 9-1 stretch. Otherwise,
look at Cardinals are in one of those again right now.
Yeah, I mean that's what they need, you know, because if you win 2 out of 3, you know, I mean you're not getting back enough. You need one. You need another stretch. Another stretch.
Well, they had the 6-gamer,
right,
which got them back to where we're talking about
them back to 10
with hope, but they can't consistently fall. I mean, 3-4 road trip. Now you're 1-1 back at home where they're sub 500. And it's just, and then the injuries have now cropped up again. Mm-hmm. And if Westberg's not in the lineup tonight, who knows what that means for him? Possibly going on the IL. Taron Vavra was on the taxi squad last night, just in case. So just when you think you're getting the band back together, you know, they lose Westberg again, and now Adley for the next, he won't be back for 3 weeks post-All-Star break. And it's oblique, who knows what the hell's going to be going on with that.
Now, with Westberg, Bob, because you have an off day tomorrow, you're better off just waiting until Friday?
I would think, but if he misses Friday, why didn't you just IL him in the first place?
No doubt.
But he's probably telling you, I'm good. But if you can't grip a bat, you're not even available off the bench.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping for the passage of a couple of days to cure things. It is what it is. But it's a tough out for the Birds. Now they try to win the series, as we said. Then they finally get a day off. But I'm not whining for them. They're not whining for themselves. They understand the schedule. Sometimes it plays in your advantage. Right now, they're in one of those tough stretches where they're playing literally every single day. And you just have to make do like other teams do. Lamar Jackson. Did the NFL collude against him and others a couple years ago? And then the NBA draft is tonight. Derek Queen, big story about him, by the way, in the Baltimore Sun. Talking about Baltimore's own, going to be a lottery pick, maybe. Certainly going to be a first-round draft pick, and we'll see where he winds up as he starts the next journey of his professional basketball career. All right, PT and Towson, spin it.
Woo! Tough one. Another brutal loss. It's killing me. You guys know it's killing me, but we had four guys that weren't in the lineup yesterday that were all among the top 100 hitters in baseball by OPS, Kowser, Westberg, Rutschman, and I know you guys hate this name, but O'Neill. I'm telling you, I know O'Neal is going to come back at some point.
Are you sure about that? He's in Bowie right now.
I think, and this is the stupidest thing I've said in a long time, I think he's going to hit 3 home runs before the All-Star break. I think he's going to be back in a week. I hope you agree with me there. His home run to at-bat ratio over his career is very, very impressive.
PT, you're spinning this like Greg Olson throwing curveballs at the A's back in 1989 when the Orioles won that series way back when. Greg Olson, for those who may not know, was the 89 Rookie of the Year, one of the best curveballs in the history of baseball, to his elbow blew out. I ain't buying it. Sorry. And with injuries to Tyler O'Neill, I don't know what to say. I mean, can anyone really sit here confidently and go, oh, he'll be back soon? He shut down his last rehab when we thought he was going to be, air quotes, back. I mean, Sanchez came back. Westberg came back. He didn't. I'm not buying anything in regards to his health. And, you know, yeah, his home run to at-bat ratio is great. How many times has he played over 100 games in his career? PT?
I know. I'm with you twice.
Two.
Bob, yeah, and let me say this. You were freaking secretariat at Belmont out in front of this. It's the truth. And if you haven't seen that race, I know you have, Bob, but if the listeners haven't seen that race, click on it, because what secretariat did at Belmont was ridiculous.
Right.
But, absolutely. So it's the one time I am right. But if things click, I completely agree with you. I think it's at this point, we're upside down. But if the guys get healthy, Kowser, Westberg, Rutschman, and hopefully O'Neal, Rogers obviously is shocking all of us. Grayson is going to come, you know, believed to be coming back. I'm just saying, if those things happen, man, I definitely feel as if we've got a shot. But goodness, you got to win. There's no more messing around. There's no more, it's a tough
You're
loss.
Running out
They've
of time.
Got to win the games like last night.
Yeah, we're almost at the halfway point, right? Games played.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a week ago tonight, they blew an 8-0 lead and lost. Trevor Rogers, well, I'm not blaming him, but he was culpable. But, you know, they've had 2 losses within the last 6-7 days, PT, that should have been wins. That would have been wins probably a year ago. You know what I mean?
Right. No, that's been all year, and that's why I thought Nolan was right. Something needed to change, so I understood firing Hyde, but things still aren't clicking. Like Holiday, who's having a great year, and he's only blowing up. But getting picked off second base with no outs, you know, a couple nights ago, man, you can't do that.
That was the Yankee game on Sunday, mm-hmm. which would have been, they would have been 3-0 in that
no
one.
Doubt.
But, yeah, but not the nitpick on Holidays. You know, I hear what you're saying, PT. I'd like to agree with you, but I can't do it just yet. I mean, like Vinny said, let's win 6 out of 8, 8 out of 10, 11 of 13. You know what I mean? But the Twins had a 13-game winning streak, and since then, they've been the worst team in baseball. I mean, the Mets have lost, what, 12 of 11 of 12?
How about the Yankees?
Yeah, Yankees are 3-12 in their last 15 games.
The only
games.
Teams they beat?
The Rays are a game out of first place all of a sudden. All right, PT, appreciate the call. Love the optimism, but we still got to talk in realism terms. We have time for another call. You want to wait? We'll come back, take a break. If you're on the phones, get in 410-583-1057. Orioles went from getting no hit to taking the lead to losing in extra innings. Now they have to face Jacob DeGrom tonight to win a series against a team that's 9 games below 500 on the road. And we'll get into Lamar Jackson. The contract that he wanted 3 years ago that became a nice one, that's going to turn into a different one. But did the NFL collude? The owner's saying, hey, we got to limit these bonuses. And bleep you, Jimmy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're talking about the Orioles blowing a game. Well, did they blow the game? Is that they blew 8-0 lead? That's blowing a game. What was last night?
Well, they blew it because they're up 5-4 and you got all the momentum, and then you walk a guy and let him go. Why don't you just take second and then also take third, and then boom, hit a pop, hit the sacrifice, and then they get a man on third, one out, and they strike out.
Nolan, they blow the lead last night. Is that where we're going?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you got it, I mean, if
there's
it was
a,
like 10,
there's a BS next to the.
if it was 10-9 and they were trading punches from the first inning, maybe. Maybe, but no, not the case.
Yeah, Soto gets the blown save last night. Dominguez takes the L, and he was wild, let's be honest, 30 pitches to get through his one inning. But you also inherit that guy on second, but Texas played by the same rules, and the Orioles got their guy to third. And then, like you said, Vinny, and we all know, I mean, Carlson whiffing. I mean, just a little tapper here, ground ball there. And make somebody do something with the baseball. Instead of the catcher just tossing it back to the pitcher, and then Holiday flew out. And what looked like to be maybe the most dramatic win of the season, or one of them for sure, turned into yet another gut punch. NBA draft tonight, we'll talk about that, and the Ravens with Cordell Woodland, top of the hour. The Zinger got traded. Porzingis, C.J. McCollum is coming to the Wizards. Jordan Poole's going out to New Orleans and all the good stuff going on there. Probably see a lot more of that. Coming up tonight with navigating of that salary cap. I mean, I couldn't. I don't even know how to handle my own checkbook, much less explain the NBA salary cap. Jimmy Patos can, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. And then the Ravens. We're going to talk about that next segment. Collusion? Owners colluding against the players? That's never happened before. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
So I got a quick question before I get on to my tangent. Last night's loss, or the loss against the Yankees when they had the lead in the first inning and had it throughout the whole game, which one do you think is more frustrating?
Ooh, well, they're both frustrating for an answer because they win either game, they win series. You know what I mean? They win that one Sunday, they win the series. They win last night, they clinch the series against Texas. Because they scored two, Holiday got picked off, could have been 3-0. Then they didn't score again for the rest of the game. And then last night, and have a hit through six. I'm going to go recency bias, Ryan, and say that one was more of a kick in the shorts because you came from behind, dramatic fashion, at home. Let's stress that and let it slip away last couple innings. So I'll go last night.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was contemplating that, but I was at a point where, you know, we got the lead, and I almost felt like we were playing with house money. We shouldn't have been in the game, and we, lo and behold, we were, whereas with the Yankees game, we had the lead the whole game, and then except for that last inning, and it just fell apart.
They both sucked. How's that sound?
Yeah, they're both a tally in the wrong column.
Right.
So we'll put it that way. But, you know, what I stem yesterday's loss to, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Gary Sanchez – he had the three-run homer that was great. And, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt while playing sports, but when I was playing baseball, and that wasn't too long ago, you know, you have a great offensive game, and it carries on to the defense, where you feel like you're on cloud nine, you're making every diving play, and every single ball goes into your glove. I was hoping to see that with Sanchez, and I just didn't see that. And I know he wasn't getting much help from Dominguez, too, who was also – on my list of people to blame. The wild pitches are just inexcusable. I mean, they were going 55 feet. I can understand if you spike it right at the base of his crouch, but some of those weren't even close. Yeah. And it was just frustrating, especially in a high leverage situation with a guy who has been in high leverage spots, be able to close the door down, sort of like how Felix did it in the ninth. You know, he didn't crack under the pressure, but you know, he made the pitches when needed. I feel like Dominguez didn't do that.
Well, and look, we were talking off the air, as a matter of fact, about Sanchez. His lack of defensive skills have led him to go from a high-level prospect with the Yankees to bouncing around. He was brought in to be a guy that hits lefties and spells Adley occasionally. And unfortunately now Adley's hurt, who had never been on the IL before. He's got to be the guy. You talk about the wild pitches, and yeah, they were kind of egregious, but a catcher with better defensive acumen maybe slides over and prevents it hitting a backstop. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I feel your pain. But to your point about, all right, I'm hitting dudes, the toolsy guys, hey, They're going to help you win one way or another. Hey, I'm sucking at the play, Gunner, and I'll just make a great defensive play. Or, you know, I booted one, but I'm going to pick you up with my bat. Toolsy guys are just, they reek of confidence. And it's obvious that Gary Sanchez has been told for years he sucks as a catcher, that it's probably in his dome. Like Kerstad here with us, Ryan. He's a terrible outfielder. And this year he played like one.
Yeah, it's kind of like that mental block in him has just been put in there. He goes in there and says, well, I hit my 3-run homer. I don't really have to do much for the rest of the day besides catch something right down the middle. So, I mean, I agree with you that I think that it's definitely not the role that he signed up for. You know, he wasn't expected to be the starting catcher and be a great defensive catcher. But, I mean, so Adley blocks at least probably all those balls yesterday.
He gets a tag.
Hey, thanks, Ryan.
I think Adley gets the tag down.
Yeah, you got to get it down quicker. And, you know, it was a frustrating loss. We talked about it. Nolan brought it up. I mean, you know, they sack flies infield. I mean, they had the infield in twice. Ground balls hit right to Gunner and then Holiday, and they scored both times. You do that to prevent that from happening. Anyway, let's get back to the – well, we'll take a break, come back. Go to shift gears a little bit. Lamar Jackson, he's a stud. He's won an MVP within the last 2 years. Should have won last year. Going to be one of the favorites to do it this year. But there was drama. Drama with the contract negotiations. And let's revisit that drama. Now, is it worth bringing up? I think it is. Because now you got another contract coming up, not just with him, but others. Lamar's now, what, the 10th highest paid quarterback in football?
Mm-hmm.
With everyone else, he's about to set the market. He wanted to set it a couple years ago, and it wasn't happening for reasons we'll discuss. Talk about contract, because he's due for another one. Contract extension. Going to be coming his way. His salary cap hit next year, almost $75 million. Is that correct? We've seen others get done. Patrick Mahomes just sitting back watching this all unfold. Josh Allen just redid his deal. So we're seeing it happen. But that's Lamar talking about his next contract, which I'm assuming will go smoother than the last one. So Nolan, Vinny, let's go back to the Pablo Torre podcast finds out the decision. It was an arbitration decision with the NFL and the Players Association and all of this and collusion against the players, limiting guaranteed monies. And if I'm wrong, help me out. I usually am. This all stems from Deshaun Watson getting over $200 million, $250, I believe it was, in guaranteed dough. Unheard of. Never happened before. Will never happen again. Sort of things. So let's go back to the genesis of this hearing in the first place and why Lamar Jackson's a prominent part of this discussion.
Yeah, well, when Deshaun Watson did that contract, I mean, Bob, I think I recall us saying as soon as we found out that it happened, there's going to be a lot of people pissed off.
No doubt.
And Bisciotti talked. And he said that that was going to make things a lot more difficult, the guaranteed money. And I think that's why, you know, for the Ravens, letting a couple other contracts get done, because what they had to do was say, that guy, that owner, he's one of one. That's an outlier contract. That is
not. I think Bisciotti pretty much said that.
Yeah,
too.
And that's kind of what everybody else did, was nobody caved to that. Because agents, they're all salivating. They say, hey, if one did it, then we're going to try. Then everybody's going to try to get it because one got it. But then, you know, they're listening to all the other owners about their play. No, that ain't happening. That is one fool going rogue. You know, that is not going to happen. You know, so that's why those other contracts getting done, I think that's why, you know, the Ravens probably felt good, although they did offer 3 years totally guaranteed is the way it sounds. And he wanted more, which most people do. You know, I mean, you want some length to your deal. You want a 5-year deal. And Eric's talking about, you know, why not and all those times. Because here's the thing about it is, whether you mean it or not mean it, it's just part of negotiations. You're trying to get the, because Eric's not representing Eric. Eric's representing the Ravens, you know, and Lamar's representing Lamar, you know. So Eric's got to do what he's got to do to try to get the best deal, you know, and to say what he has to say. Yeah, I mean, it's just part of negotiations. And when do deals get done? When there's a deadline. And what was the deadline for Lamar? The draft. And, you know, because Eric was shocked that he took the deal. You know why? Because they were going to take somebody the next day. And then Lamar's probably like, holy hell, then what am I going to do? Because they gave him, you know, with the tag that they gave him, other teams were able to talk to him. But, all right, Lamar as the agent, that's where it hurts not having an agent. Because you have no relationship with any of these people, other teams, you know, to call. Who do I call, you know, and do all those types of things? So that made things that much more difficult for Lamar. Because it sounds like Lamar, you know, he didn't even give Eric a list of teams that he wanted.
They requested a trade.
Yeah.
DaCosta's like, well, who do you want to go to? And he never responded with that. I do remember Arthur Blank saying, you know, he gets hurt too much, talking about Lamar Jackson. Yeah. As Atlanta's been in this quarterback quandary since Matt Ryan's skills diminished. But Nolan, what do you think? Lamar Jackson. Now, with all of this, I mean, colluding. Hey, baseball got banged big time in the 80s for colluding against free agency way back when. But Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray were others seeking fully guaranteed deals on the heels of this Watson, which is 230 guaranteed.
So when we talk collusion, that's just the idea of it or the execution of it. I mean, because Vinny mentioned it briefly there, and it's all in these documents, that the Ravens did offer a fully guaranteed deal, but it just wasn't long enough. Well, all right, that meets the parameters of fully guaranteed. Unless I'm missing something here, there's something that's lost in translation. If he signed that deal, are we even talking about this today? If he got a fully guaranteed deal, but it was only 3 years, where does this collusion stuff come into play? The league could still be talking behind the scenes, and that appears to be the case. Sure. That, hey, you know, don't hand out these bonuses and all that stuff, and talking about Watson in particular. I'm not going to deny that there was an idea of this behind the scenes, but to say that the Ravens were fully in on it or benefited from it, I mean, they were willing to hand him the guaranteed deal.
I would say this, when those owners, when they get in their meetings and it's owners only, so it's only 32 people in that meeting, you know, after that contract, you know they're talking. Yeah, I mean, they're like, hey, this will ruin. We cannot have. I would be totally shocked if that didn't happen.
Sure.
Knowing owners and stuff. Absolutely, it happened.
And when does it stop? Starts with quarterbacks, then it goes to wide receivers, goes to running backs.
Yep.
I mean, any star player just wants this fully guaranteed money, trying to work in the parameters within of a salary cap. Because the owners of all the sports leagues, right? Baseball's always been considered the strongest with the players' union. I guess NBA, I don't really know what the NHL. I mean, their highest paid players don't even make $20 million a year.
No.
Right? So, I mean, the NFL was always like, we generate the most dough and get the least. I mean, they have more players on a roster, so you got a lot to deal with there. I mean, coaching staffs have, what, 20 people? There's a lot of people that need to get paid, but salary cap for your roster alone, it's a lot of dough for a limited number of stars that are going to get paid. It's a crazy thing. We'll come back, talk about that with Cordell Woolen. NBA draft is tonight. Whip around 11:15, what happened in the world of sports last night. Mike Axisa, we'll talk baseball with him. Remember how hot the Twins were? They're the exact opposite of that right now. Cardinals are heating up, and then the Orioles just keep wallowing in this mediocre thing that they're in. Actually, 11 games under 500. They're not even mediocre. They're less than mediocre. Funhouse, news from the Nest, back to Lamar talk. So if you want to get in, you can. Woman Crush Wednesday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.